the state legislation that's dismantling DEI. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. Florida is on the verge of banning cities and counties from funding, carrying out, and even promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. There's growing concern over a bill Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to sign that, beginning January 1st, would prohibit cities and counties from paying or for promoting DEI programs. The legislation defines DEI as an effort to have programs or give preferential treatment based on race, color, sex, ethnicity, gender identity, or sexual orientation. We'll unpack the implications of this new law. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Canaveral Port Authority commissioners have tossed out a proposal to build a liquefied natural gas plant on land the port owns on Merritt Island. The proposal, which was voted down unanimously, has drawn widespread concern from area residents, as Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durie explains.
Merritt Island residents have health and safety concerns about the location eyeballed for the proposed LNG plant. It's a roughly 50-acre site along the barge canal connecting the Banana and Indian Rivers. Resident Philip Stasek says the site's proximity to homes plus an elementary school make building an LNG plant there unfeasible. After the vote, Stasek thanked Port Authority commissioners for rejecting the idea.
You did your due diligence, and you came to the right decision. And I hope that that decision holds. We're counting on you to make the right decision in the future.
In light of company's proposal to build an LNG plant on Merritt Island, Port Authority staff had the land appraised. It came in at $11.4 million, or $238,000 per acre. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
Orange County commissioners broke a long stalemate in the county's negotiations with its firefighters union. Central Florida Public Media's Sam Stockbridge has this report.
For more than 3 years, the Orange County Firefighters Association had been pushing for numerous changes to make wages and benefits more competitive with other fire departments. Here is union representative Paul Riccardi.
We're willing to negotiate with management. We actually want our health care to improve our lives of our people. We actually want to have our leapfrog so we can protect our tenured employees. We need the steps or the hiatus period movement to ensure that we're not left behind.
In a trio of votes, the board directed county staff to incorporate the union's priorities into a final contract. The new agreement will boost starting salaries up to about $59,000 and keep existing protections for experienced employees. The union's firefighters will also leave the Orange County Health Insurance Program. Instead, the county will create a health trust to fund a plan tailored for the department. Sam Stockbridge, Central Florida Public Media.
Temporary relief was granted earlier this week for low-income HIV patients, but the push to ensure long-term access to life-saving medication has just begun. Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill that temporarily puts a stop to an emergency rule limiting who qualifies for HIV medication, but that bill suspends the cutbacks only until the end of June. Central Florida Public Media's health reporter Joe Mario Pedersen has more.
The emergency rule issued by the Florida Department of Health earlier this year limited eligibility for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program due to a $120 million budget shortfall. John Harris Maurer is the public policy director for Equality Florida. He says that advocates will be pushing for a long-term solution during the legislature's special session in April.
We're very encouraged that this bipartisan group of lawmakers has recognized the urgency of addressing this. And we know that the work continues to find more long-term stability for the program.
Legislators did not establish a budget for the fiscal year and will be meeting on April 20th to begin renegotiating budget items, including for HIV medication assistance. Joe Mario Pedersen, Central Florida Public Media.
These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. Did you miss Space on Tap? The inaugural live event that brought the curiosity of space from Are We There Yet? To Judson's Live in Orlando Monday is now available to listen. Subscribe to the space exploration podcast Are We There Yet? To hear about the new science of the moon and an astronaut answer questions about living and working in space. Get Are We There Yet? Wherever you get this podcast. Florida is on the verge of banning cities and counties from funding, carrying out, and even promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. There's growing concern over a bill Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to sign that, beginning January 1st, would prohibit cities and counties from paying for or promoting DEI programs. Both the state, Senate, and House passed the legislation earlier this month. The votes were mostly along party lines, with five House Republicans and one Senate Republican joining Democrats in voting no. The legislation defines DEI as an effort to have programs or give preferential treatment based on race, color, sex, ethnicity, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Patrick Rickert is an assistant professor of political science at Rollins College in Winter Park. He spoke with Central Florida Public Media's Sharon Stone about the implications of the legislation.
A lot of the things that this bill does reaffirm some laws that are already in place. The parts of the law that are trying to prevent manipulating or influencing the composition of employees with regard to race, color, sex, ethnicity, or gender already falls under a lot of the non-discrimination prohibitions that are in place. Really, what this is aimed at is some of the initiatives and programming that local governments, cities, and counties have been doing to promote diversity or highlight the LGBTQ communities. A couple of months ago, Florida's Department of Government Efficiency put out a report about waste in city and county governments. And the real thing that it identified as waste were these DEI programs that some in the governor's office have said were already illegal.
Who decides what groups fall into DEI?
So the law has three different definitions of DEI, and the groups that are listed are, and I'm quoting right now, groups based on that a person or a group's race, color, sex, ethnicity, gender identity, or sexual orientation. But opponents of the bill have argued that as a whole, the bill is very broad and too broad to properly or consistently enforce.
Who would interpret what supporting DEI looks like in terms of what this bill doesn't allow moving forward?
Yeah, there are two mechanisms that the bill puts into place. One is that a citizen can bring action against a local elected official that they are alleging violated this law, at which point it would be determined by the courts. The law also says that anyone who violates one of these policies has committed malfeasance, and under Florida law, the governor has the discretion to suspend and potentially remove any local elected official who has committed malfeasance. So this could lead to the governor having some increased authority to punish local elected officials who engage in these practices.
So could an elected official participate in a Pride parade or a Veterans parade or a Lunar New Year celebration or maybe a St. Patrick's Day parade then?
There's, I would say, still debate about that. So House Speaker Daniel Perez specifically said that the language in this bill wouldn't prevent cities from doing things like holding Pride festivals, but the statutory language is really open to interpretation. So something like a St. Patrick's Day parade, which is programming designed specifically with reference to Irish heritage, seems to fall under the prohibition against ethnicity. There are a few carve-outs across the bill allowing cities to celebrate state or federal holidays or groups honored by national or state memorials, which is the provision that protects the Pulse Memorial here in Orlando being built. But those also open their own range of interpretation. How do we define which groups in particular are being honored by different memorials?
It sounds like there's a lot of gray area here.
Yeah, and that is the main objection that opponents of the bill raised when it was being debated. This is kind of an interesting bill in that it didn't pass on a party line vote. There were five Republicans in the Florida House and one in the Senate that had reservations that this bill was too ambiguous. People who oppose the bill have pointed out things like grants given to organizations like the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce might be impacted by this. And so community partners that prioritize some particular group would be ineligible for these grants and thus have to curtail their activities, which are things that are important to the people living in the city. The citizens of the city voted for the city government to do the things that it is doing.
Are there any aspects of public service that are protected by First Amendment rights to free speech? Could an elected official argue it is their right to show support in a parade, for example?
Free speech protections under the Constitution get a little bit trickier when you are talking about things that are part of one's professional political duty as an elected official versus their own conduct as a private citizen. For instance, an elected official could argue that they are being part of this parade in their capacity as a private citizen, not in their capacity as mayor, for instance. But again, that would be something subject to the courts or the governor discretion over whether that was actually in their professional capacity.
When we're looking at gray areas, how do you define whether something is DEI programming or cultural programming?
To a certain extent, I don't know that there is much of a clear, meaningful distinction. If we consider culture as something to be the outgrowth of race or ethnicity or gender identity, well, that would fall under the definition of DEI that the law has.
Who's benefiting from this bill being passed?
I think this is part of a larger effort on the part of the governor's office and the supermajority in the Florida legislature to impose the will of the state government over these cities that are maybe doing things that the governor or many in the state legislature disagree with.
Are there legal questions about this bill that could lead to lawsuits?
There will be a lot of lawsuits, especially if elected officials are removed. Certainly they would have standing to sue that there wasn't necessarily a due process followed or a fair process allowing them to challenge their removal. Groups may be disproportionately impacted by the removal of some of these programs or the non-renewal of some contracts might try to sue to stop the bill as well. And city governments as a whole may argue that this violates home rule and impermissibly takes power away from the municipal governments. Florida's statutes say that the municipal governments have broad powers to govern within their own jurisdictions, but it also says subject to state law. So the state government does have the ability to preempt some of that home rule. And under the American constitutional system, cities and counties are creatures of the state. They only have power to the extent that the state allows them to. And so states can curtail this home rule, as they are attempting to do here.
That was Patrick Rickard, an assistant professor of political science at Rollins College in Winter Park, speaking with Central Florida Public Media's Sharon Stone. More on the legislation is in this week's episode of Engage. Get it where you get this podcast. That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.